blah 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 blah
blah blah
blah blah blah blah blah blah blah blah
blah blah blah
blah blah blah
blah blah blah blah blah blah blah blah blah
blah
blah blah blah blah blah
blah blah blah blah
blah blah blah blah blah blah
blah blah blah blah
blah blah blah blah blah blah.
Sean, my good man, this is a monumental episode of Blah Blah Podcast.
What makes it monumental?
Well, it's episode 13. That's an unlucky number.
That is unlucky. Something bad's going to happen.
Right?
I know it. Something bad's going to happen.
13?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, good. But we aren't unlucky because by the grace of God, we got the man himself, the creator of Star Wars, on the show today. George Lucas. George, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to come do this podcast.
Well, thank you for having me, Jason. It's a pleasure to be on the program.
I'm just going to get right into it, Mr. Lucas. I'm a huge fan of your work. I absolutely love Star
Wars.
Oh, you know?
How are you?
Okay. But I have so many questions and like just things running through my brain right now. First and foremost, I just want to know, where did you get the idea of Star Wars?
Well, you know, Star Wars, it came to me a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, and I was just sitting at home, and I was eating my Dorito-flavored Coke and my, just eating Doritos products and getting real fat, and then I was just looking up at the stars one night, and I said, hey, what would it be like if the stars went to war with each other? So I decided to make the original draft. Most people don't know this is it's actually the stars fighting.
Really? Like
yes,
celebrities?
Like the stars in the sky, like actually going to war with each other. So I was talking to my kids, and they said, "Nah, you should do a thing. You should do these three movies about people fighting in space, and then do three other movies, and one of them can have a funny black character in it."
Okay.
That's where the idea for Star Wars came from.
George, I don't think you had kids yet at that point.
Well, you see, I referred to the kids as had a bunch of midgets in my basement tied up. So that's what I referred to as my.
But that's legal nowadays, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, at the time it was frowned upon, but nowadays it's common practice in Hollywood. I think Steven Spielberg does it.
And, okay. He's a good guy. You can get him on the show next?
I don't know. I think he's producing Transformers 5, so I mean he might be a little busy, but you know.
Okay. Sean, do you have anything to ask?
Yes. A lot of people have said that you took a lot of your ideas for Star Wars from the Kurosawa movie Hidden Fortress. Would you care to comment on that?
You see, that's actually funny you mentioned it. That the idea for Star Wars didn't come from the Akira Kurosawa. I actually have not seen any Akira Kurosawa movies. The idea for Star Wars really, after the whole thing with the stars fighting, when I decided to redraft the script, came from the movie Pootie Tang.
So wow, really?
I decided to base it off of Pootie Tang by who did that? It was
Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, Snoop Dogg. Who's it was written by Louis C.K. Right? I think Louis C.K. was involved in that.
Back in like the 70s?
Yeah, Pootie Tang, yes.
He's older than I thought.
Must have been a long time in pre-production.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. So I remember hearing that your original draft for Luke Skywalker, he was supposed to be like part robot. Han Solo C-3PO was supposed to be like a used car salesman type. And I'm wondering what made you change them into like normal humans?
Well, you see I wanted to make them, you know, kind of all kind of different, you know, based on different races. So
gotcha.
C-3PO was supposed to be like a used car salesman with like a really greasy Italian accent. So and, the big green Han Solo monster was supposed to be like a big Austrian or German Nazi kind of person.
Gotcha.
So he was gonna have a funny, you know, a little funny voice, selling all the toys and all. So, but you know, at the time, you know, paying homage to all the different races out in the world,
mm-hmm.
you know, it was kind of frowned upon in Hollywood. So by the time I got to the prequels, things started to change, and that's when
gotcha.
I was able to do Jar Jar Binks and pay homage to the African Americans and their plight.
Okay, I would assume that Darth Vader was for the African Americans as well.
Oh, well, you know, it could be said. But you know, the Darth Vader kind of represents what Darth Vader represents depends on what year George Lucas you're talking to.
Oh, so well, which one are we talking 80, to right 80s now?
George Lucas would, you know, have a different answer than me now, because you know,
you've grown up.
I start to learn things that I subconsciously did back in the day, and you know, I didn't realize it at the time.
Mm. I got you. Now this is kind of coming out of left field.
Yes,
but why did you make Red Tails?
Well, you see, Red Tails was originally going to start out. It was going to be all Gungans. All Gungans flying in the
and for the audience Gungans, who doesn't know what the Gungans are.
Gungans are they're a species from Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace, which I think is my strongest of the six. They are kind of like a metaphor for African Americans, and like I said earlier, their plight and how strong of a people they are. So I wanted to make a movie about them flying in planes. So I went to my kids, my actual kids, not the midgets. Mm. They had all died at that point from starvation, because I ate all the chicken. So,
midgets love chicken.
Yeah, so I used to just give them a bucket, but then I just started to keep eating it.
Are packed on the pounds.
Yeah,
a little bit.
Well, you know. So I talked to my actual kids, and they said, "Yeah, that's a great idea that I pitched it to the studio." And they said, "Well, we wanted to, you know, maybe make a move, you know, take this idea. What we pictured were the Tuskegee Airmen." And I said, okay, well, it's not really what I was looking for. So they paid me a lot of money to kind of change the script around. So that's when I decided that, you know, well, I think things got to change when the cash is you know, coming to you.
Gotcha.
All right. Did you or did you not know Luke and Leia were brother and sister from the beginning?
Well, you see, some people don't realize is we always had a plan. Star Wars. Gotcha. I mean, 80s George Lucas would have said otherwise, but now I realize that I always did have a plan. So we always knew, and it's I kind of based it off of one of my favorite stories growing up. My mother used to read it to me at Oedipus, and I remember it got me really excited when I was a kid. You know, just the thought of this kind of thing happening. So I was like, I wanted to kind of. You know, if I paid homage to a bunch of other things going on, different cultures, different stories, I might as well pay homage to Oedipus and really, you know, really talk about, you know, that kind of thing. So I was like, well, two characters could we do? Luke and Leia. The kind of thing where they don't know, you know, when they're, you know, spending time together. And then as they get older, they realize it. But unlike Oedipus, where, you know, he gouges his eyes out and he's banished and all that, you know, they kind of grow to accept it. And Han kind of gets his, sloppy seconds from the girl's own brother.
Got you. Did you ever write anything about, you know, Luke and Leia going all the way?
Well, you see, in the original draft, it was going to be that, you know, you have the kiss scene in Empire, and they kiss and then they kind of leave. But the original draft actually had a scene where, they were going, you know, to that extra mile, and... So you have them, you know, going for above and beyond.
Wow.
And Han Solo just kind of forced to sit there, but he starts to, you know, get a little, you know, get a little stiff himself. So
George, that's amazing.
Well, yeah. So
have you ever told anyone this?
No, this is actually the first time I've ever talked about this. So as Han is kind of getting hard, you actually had, this was the early precursor to Jar Jar Binks. Mm. His name was going to be Kunta Binks, and so he came in and started touching Han down there. So it was going to be a whole interspecies kind of thing going on. So but the studio felt that, you know, the costumes and everything and the, you know, the fake ejaculate wouldn't really
it's a pretty hard sell. No, yeah, pun intended.
Well, yeah, it was hard. But now I'm actually gonna, you know, digitally recreate that in the next re-release of Star Wars.
Oh, you actually have a hands-on with the product still?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, this isn't really an official thing that I'm doing. It's just kind of...
Oh,
know.
just yourself.
This is my own personal pet project. This is the true vision of Star Wars.
Kind of like how Topher Grace fan-edited the prequel trilogy into one movie. That's what you're doing?
Topher Grace? Isn't that 70s show guy?
Yeah, yeah.
He did what?
I don't remember the exact name of it, but... He took the original, I mean, not the original, the prequel trilogy from the 90s and the early 2000s and fan edited it into one solid movie for what he says better pacing.
Well, I guess I could do the same with that 70s show and kind of re-edit that for pacing. But if that were the case, there'd be no show. So,
George, why did you decide not to direct Empire or Return of the Jedi?
Well, you see, at the time, being a director for multiple films in a series was frowned upon at the time. So I, you know, as far as I was concerned, well, people didn't really want me to. You know, they said you couldn't do it, but I think I had my suspicions that people just didn't want me to direct. So what I did was I actually went into a facial reconstruction surgery and legally changed my name at the time to become these different directors. And so, all the directors for Empire and Return of the Jedi were other people.
Sorry, George. I don't mean to interrupt you, but my friend Evan here is a huge fan of you. Evan, do you have any questions for George Lucas?
Hello, Evan.
George.
Yes?
When I was a young boy, I discovered the beauty of Star Wars very early on in my life.
And
I spent most of my boyhood reenacting, you know, scenes from the films with my brother and my friends, and I had all the toys. I had the lightsaber, and I had everything. And pretty much, I mean, I love Star Wars. My whole life was Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. It was everything to me. Right. It was my livelihood. It was my main interest. It was I lived and I breathed it, George, right? So when Star Wars Episode I came out, I mean, this was a big moment in film history. It's probably the biggest film ever.
As in The Phantom Menace, which I think is the strongest of the six.
Oh, we'll get to that.
I'm gonna eat some of my snacks as I'm
that, When Phantom Menace came out as a child, as a little kid, I thought it was great. There was lightsaber fights and pod races. And there were all sorts of things going on. But as an adult, I realized that you blew it. You blew it. You blew the whole damn thing. You blew it wide open. We had this magical, wonderful, mystical trilogy of fantastic, perfect films. And then you blew it with the prequels. And you know what? I can live with that, George. No, George. I can live with that. What I can't live with is the special editions. What were you thinking, you fat fuck? Fuck you. Really? No, I'm serious. No, hang on. Shut the fuck up. I'm fucking serious right now. You ruined it. You blew it. You know how hard it is for me to find the DVDs of the theatrical cuts? You jerk off. You doofus. What do you have to say for yourself, you fat fuck?
Star Wars is like, kind of based on the idea of the hero with 1,000 faces. So the way I see it, there has to be 1,000 versions of the same movie. So there's going to be how many new editions?
You're a pig.
How many? Could you
got
just
it?
Hang on? I'm losing
Capiche?
Track. So other there's a theatrical version, and how many total, including the
theatrical version? Then you have the minor edits that you made in the 80s.
Okay.
Then you get the special editions. Then you got the DVD editions, and then the Blu-ray editions.
That's four there. Is that four or
five? That was like five, George. All right,
well, now we have to make, and was that 1,000? We have to make 995 more versions, which is going to include the interspecies hookup scene from Empire that I just mentioned earlier.
George.
Yes.
Thank you for giving me my childhood, and thanks for ruining it.
Well, wait till you see
dropped.
I'm sorry, George. I had no idea Evan felt.
And fuck you, too! Remember this fat fuck in the studio?
No. Go to hell, all of you.
Fuck off. I hate this
podcast. I'm sorry, I'm seeing my muffins right now.
George, we have
to ruin more Indiana Jones movies, George.
Well, actually, it's
ruin more Indiana
actually
Jones?
It's a kind of a good point
why
that you're
ruin more Indiana Jones movies?
Well, if you let me finish.
You know what? It was your idea to put aliens in Indiana Jones 4.
Well, you see what
there
my kids
to be
thought
a 4,
that
George, there needs to be 4 aliens, really? Fuck you.
Well, you see, the thing with Indiana Jones, I actually got a 5th Indiana Jones movie planned with Steven, and it's going to be called Indiana Jones and the Quest for the Big Willy, and that Big Willy is going to be named Evan Moore.
Fuck you, George Lucas.
Oh, George, you've been around the block, haven't you?
Get this fuck out of my house!
Well, you see,
I thought this was a studio.
I live here.
Oh, okay.
He lives in the studio.
Actually, she doesn't know I live here, too, in the basement.
I mean, I was watching some documentaries the other day, and I saw you walking around in the background. You like that muffin, George?
By the way, George, we apologize for that. We didn't know that was going to happen.
Yeah, Evan told me he was a huge fan of yours, but I didn't know he felt that passionate. No,
it's quite all right. You see, I've dealt with my fair share of issues on set with actors like Keira Knightley when she was the other Queen Amidala in Phantom Menace. She
was?
Yeah, she was. Whenever you saw Queen Amidala and Padme in a scene together, it was Keira Knightley.
I had no idea.
You know, when it was, you know, but when Padme and Queen Amidala need to be in the scene, it was, you know, because they looked alike. So, you know, she used to throw things at the cast and kind of force them down and pee on them. So that wasn't really nice to really deal with.
Now, can I ask, why did you go from filming in real locations in the 70s and 80s to just complete blue screens and green screens for the prequel trilogy?
You see, the older I get, the bigger I get, the slower I get as well. So, you know, it's just too much effort, and you know, to go to the sets and the actual locations anymore and film there. So what I decided was just to shoot in front of a green screen. Actually, the place where we shot is just in my garage. So, you know, I don't even need to go to location. They pay me millions of dollars to do it, so...
You have a huge garage, man.
Well, actually, it's the magic of movie making.
Oh, okay.
You know, we can make it look bigger than it is.
Can we go back to you mentioning earlier about having facial reconstructive surgery to direct Empire and Return of the Jedi?
Yeah, absolutely.
We got cut off short of that when, unfortunately, we had that outburst from a fan.
You right there, buddy?
Go ahead. Question?
No. So you have facial reconstruction. The face that we're staring at now, is this your original face?
Well, yeah. Well, once I finished directing the movies, and the studios didn't know, the other directors kind of, you know, mysteriously died. But, you know, it was really a case I just gave up that identity and went back to George Lucas. So
can you tell us one of your other aliases?
Well, you see, so I had the directors of Empire and Return of the Jedi. I've also
I got you.
Times see Carrie Fisher in Return of the Jedi. You remember the scene where she's in the bikini at Jabba's palace?
Yeah.
Carrie didn't want to do that, so I had a facial reconstruction surgery in order to do that. So that was actually me.
You were in good shape then.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's also the magic movie making that, you know.
You had a very nice pair of breasts.
Like, those actually weren't fake. They
still,
you know,
does.
I had implants made. So.
You had implants?
Yeah, I had implants put in. So, you know. So my breasts were nice and perky.
Oh, wow. I just forgot what I was going to say. Sean, you want to back me up?
Sure. Why don't we talk about what's moving forward with this Disney deal? What exactly is your involvement with Disney as far as these new Star Wars movies coming out?
So earlier in my career, we had plans for 7, 8, 9. Star Wars 7, 8, 9. And here, I'll just finish my muffin here. All right. So we finished, we had the draft for 7, 8, 9. And once the Disney deal happened, those story ideas and elements and, you know, the tropes that I used in my previous films and in my draft, you know, got thrown out. You know, they're just not using them. They have to, you know, kind of update to a modern movie going audience. So my current involvement is, I was like a creative consultant. Really, I kind of create the characters, for it. J.J. Abrams, who is a phenomenal filmmaker, comes up with the story and everything, and I come up with the characters.
Like the soccer ball from the trailer, BB-8?
Yeah, BB-8, yeah. He's actually going to have like a little like Pakistani voice coming from it. So
can you give us a preview?
Well, I'm not the one who does the voice, Jason.
Okay.
Who is doing the voice?
Actually, the Pakistani guy, it's going to be Adam Sandler doing the voice of... 8B8 doing, but Adam Sandler doing a Pakistani voice,
like don't mess with the Zohan.
Yeah, kind of similar. Because I was watching that in the theaters when I first came out. I was just like,
"Well, you're there."
I was
opening
blown away.
Night?
I was more blown away by that than when I saw Jake Lloyd's audition tape for Phantom Menace. And
wow,
I was just blown away by the performance and how he could become other characters.
Now that you mentioned Jake Lloyd, I want to ask: with Phantom Menace, a lot of people disagree that you shouldn't have went that far back in the timeline when Darth Vader was like an 8-year-old. Why did you decide to do that?
Well, you see, actually, the first draft of Phantom Menace, the Anakin was actually going to be 2 years old. And kind of crawling around.
He was older.
So we made him older. I don't know how much older people want him to get, but you know, I think that was the prime age for him because he was this young, innocent little figure. And right before it, so when he talked about how he was a skilled pilot, I wanted to show that. You know, in the pod racing scene and the line, "Let's try spinning," that's a cool trick. Showed his naivete as he was younger and a young pilot, but as he got older, he kind of matured more into it. And just one thing I want to address about Phantom Menace. I get a lot of heat for a certain line that's said in the film. The line was, "That's so wizard, Anakin." Like one of the kids are talking to me goes, "That's so wizard."
You're right.
And a lot of people complain about that line. But
well, what does it mean?
Well, that's so cool. Like, that's so wizard. You know, I feel like a wizard is kind of kind of fading into existence as a state of being and a profession that people should. And I wanted to bring it back. I wanted to bring back the term wizard as something that the kids would say hip and with it.
Would you say that's been successful?
No, but I think that's just because the moviegoing audience are afraid of going back and paying homage to things. That's why we had to update Star Wars. People were afraid of going back to that Star Wars. We had to update it. But that's fine. We can throw the original three out the window, but the term "that's so wizard," that can't go. That has to stay.
Okay. I never... Wow, that's so... My eyes are open now. Does the same go for the line, "you're like sand," or "I hate sand, it's coarse and hard"?
Well, I actually... you see, when I wrote that scene, I was actually on the beach, and I hated the sand at the time. So I was just like, well, Tatooine, that's a planet. So let's go back there and let's see, Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru, in there. So we decided to put the sand in there as a way to kind of express my actual feelings about sand and, you know, how much it's coarse and rough, but it gets everywhere. But I was looking at, I was actually looking down at my ham sandwich and then I thought, but you're not, you know, coarse and hard and gets everywhere. You're smooth. So Padme, I put that to Padme. Padme was actually in real life the ham sandwich.
So she's Anakin's ham sandwich.
Yes.
Wow. Do you mind if I use that on a girl I take out on a date?
By all means, Jason.
Thank you so much.
We heard previously that some of your ideas that you pitched to Disney for Episode 7 were turned down during their process of writing the script. Do you care to give us some of these ideas, possibly?
Surely. Well, one of the ideas was, as I mentioned, there was the Pakistani droid voiced by Adam Sandler. I originally was going to have another droid voiced by Rob Schneider doing like a really effeminate homosexual voice. And that was going to be called AX-69. So... They felt like that was, you know, they just needed one droid, and I felt the two, they were going to be like the new C-3PO and R2-D2, the new droid duo, and then you were going to have R2-D2 and C-3PO die.
Oh.
So that way new droids can come in and take their place. And another idea I had was for Princess Leia. She was going to, since, Carrie Fisher's kind of packing on the pounds recently. There's no way she's going to really be able to, get back to the way she was. So she was actually going to need so much. She becomes the new Jabba the Hutt.
Wow.
So she was going to take over as that part and get corrupted and, greedy and everything. And then in a surprise turn of events is Lando Calrissian in the bikini that chokes her to death.
I would have paid to see this.
Maybe I'll re-edit, make my own version.
Topher Grace.
Yeah, I might as well at this point. And then the final idea that I had, it was gonna be involving Han Solo and Chewbacca. And as you all know, they're like the two best friends. They go everywhere together and they're really good friends. They were gonna get stranded on Hoth. Mm-hmm. And in order for Han to survive, he was gonna kill and eat Chewie. And then he was gonna have a line that goes, "That's pretty Chewie." So that was supposed to be in there, but they felt like it wouldn't be right to do that to Chewbacca and ruin their relationship that they had. So those were the things that they shot down.
I would have paid to see any one of those.
you didn't, your idea wasn't the Black Stormtrooper. I felt like that would be something that you would want to.
Because of Red Tails.
Well, you see,
and,
that's actually an idea of mine that they kept. I think they're changing elements in them, though. Because originally the blacks or the African American stormtrooper was a supposed to, when he was supposed to talk, he was supposed to be like a Gungan. So it was actually supposed to be a Gungan stormtrooper. So they changed it. They're like, no. And I said, okay, well, he has to be African American. So
speaking of which, how come we've never seen a Gungan in any movie other than the, what was it? Just the first one? Did we see any of them?
Jar Jar was in episode 2 and 3.
He was a senator. Or something.
Yeah, he was the catalyst to, if you remember, in the second film when he gave complete on Padme's behalf, gave complete power to Emperor, that then Chancellor Palpatine to be, you know, take over the Senate. And
well, whatever happened to Jar Jar?
Well, you see, Jar Jar right now is kind of just lying it low right now.
I heard he died.
Well, actually, if you remember, and if you actually do watch the end of A New Hope, you remember there's this, the Death Star blows up, and the Millennium Falcon and the X-Wings fly away. And there's the Millennium Falcon, Luke Skywalker. You remember Wedge Antilles survived the battle. But there's a Y-Wing there. Who's in the Y-Wing? It was Jar Jar.
Wow. So he was always there. Wow. Always there.
He joined the Rebel Alliance?
Yes, he did.
Oh, my God.
In Empire, Do you remember which scene was it? The guy, yes, the guy with Lando, he had the thing around his head.
Lobot.
That was actually Jar Jar in a disguise.
Okay.
So he was always there.
He was always there. And then
a sweet guardian angel.
And then in Return of the Jedi, they didn't want him in that film. I wanted to put him in Jabba's palace, but they said no. You know, there's no way he could fit in the story. So when I re-edited it, I had him say "Wisa Free" at the end. If you remember, when they're celebrating and it goes to all the planets, we actually put Naboo in there, and then Jabba said "Wisa Free." So they're Jar Jar. Excuse me. So there he is in Return of the Jedi, just like how I envisioned it.
Wow, that is.
But at the time, I kind of had to hide him because, you know, I don't think people were ready for Jar Jar yet.
Was he in your plans for number 7?
He was in my plans for number 7. He was actually going to be Luke was at, you see the whole my original draft of episode 7. Luke had turned to the dark side in between and became Darth what was it? Oh man, it's been so long. Darth Trangis.
That's sinister.
Yes. Jar Jar was actually going to be the person in charge of the Jedi Temple now, because turns out he has a force as well, because his midi-chlorian counts are just off the charts.
Yeah.
So he was going to be the new Master Yoda, if you will, kind of teaching people about how to use their minds and everything.
Now, can I ask, why did you think of midi-chlorians? Because that was a lot of that took a lot of backlash from fans.
Well, midi-chlorians, it was always planned.
Even from the beginning?
Even from the beginning, just like everything was. So the midi-chlorians... It's just what it is. It's exactly what it sounds like, and it was in there.
So it's
people just didn't realize it. They misconstrued the message of the original trilogy.
So it's not the Force isn't a mystical power. It's a biological.
It was always meant to be a biological,
like bacteria.
Biological bacteria in your bloodstream, making you different than everyone else.
Wow.
Yes.
So I just have one last question, maybe before we wrap up. I know you're a busy man. At the end of A New Hope, Han, Luke, and a few other people get medals, but Chewbacca never gets a medal. How come?
Now, you see, Star Wars means a lot of things to a lot of different people. I intentionally didn't put that medal on Chewie because I wanted... Star Wars came out around a time where there were a lot of racial news stories. You know, it was a bad time, and I didn't agree with that, but I wanted to give people thinking about it, so I didn't give Chewie a medal because I want people to think about the plights that were going on at the time, about different cultures kind of clashing. I wanted to show that even though these people want peace and freedom, they're still not going to give recognition to those that are different.
George, you're a smart man. Sean, do you have a last question?
I do have a last question. George,
yes,
what's next
for George Lucas? Well, first of all, right after this I actually have a meeting with a turkey club. That's next immediately. So But other than that, just kind of, you know, I'm you know, seeing as how I don't have Star Wars anymore, I'm actually going to go back and redo American Graffiti.
Oh.
I'm actually working on a re-edit of that.
Are you putting in new CGI in Jar Jar Binks?
Yeah, well, you know, Jar Jar was actually in American Graffiti.
Really?
Yeah. You know, there's a scene where it's the school dance. If you look very closely, he's dancing in the background.
Well, with the new enhanced version, are you gonna like?
Yeah, I'm gonna make it more obvious. Okay, I might be able to get you know, the voice actor for Jar Jar, Ahman Best, to come in and do the voice for American Graffiti.
I can't wait to see that.
But I'm retouching it. Ron Howard was in American Graffiti.
Yeah, yeah.
But Ron Howard wasn't really my first choice. I didn't think he was right for the part. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to superimpose the actors, or I'm going to reshoot all the scenes with a new actor and superimpose them over Ron Howard's body. And the actor that I actually wanted to play Ron Howard's character was his brother Clint Howard. So I'm going to, you know, Clint Howard, how, you know,
he's a very underused actor.
Yeah, he is. He was, I think, the better of the two Howard brothers.
Yeah, me too. I mean, and seen in
definitely Arrested, more successful.
Yeah, his scene in Arrested his scene in Arrested Development as the tree hugger was
much
phenomenal.
Better looking as well.
Yeah, he is a stellar.
He was always my stallion first choice of a man. For it. And actually, I wanted Clint Howard for every part.
Even Han Solo? Yeah.
Well, no. Well, I mean, every part in American Graffiti. Oh, okay. I wanted Clint Howard for all of them. He was just so good. He could become different people, like a chameleon. So I wanted to then go, you know. So I'm going to do that with all the characters. They're all going to be Clint Howard, except for Jar Jar.
Well, George, I can't believe you came by and talked to us. This is really too good to be true, and I thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule.
Thank you for having me.
Do you have any final words before we go?
You know, I go online and I see a lot of mean things being said about me, and, you know, calling me fat and calling me an awful filmmaker. George Lucas raped my childhood. But, you know, if you look statistically, I think Bill Cosby raped more things than me. So I think I'm kind of in the clear right now.
You are. George, you will always be in the clear of my heart. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Blah Blah Podcast, episode 13, a very special episode. I am Jason Green. You can follow me on Twitter at jgreen89. That's J-A-Y, Green, 89. My partner, Sean Smith.
George, are you on Twitter?
I am actually not on Twitter.
Are you on Facebook?
No, the only social media I use is Tumblr, which is a kind of a blog about food. It's like kind of like a Tumblr, but, you know,
oh,
it's
man.
About food. So you can follow me at GeorgiePorgy69.
All right, you heard him. You heard him,
GeorgiePorgy69, folks.
I didn't know that it was a social media site.
Yeah, I'm going to go on it right away. I love food.
One more thing can I talk about? Have another project lined up for another
film. Oh, okay, okay.
And actually, I was kind of...
Is this the first time it's breaking?
Yeah, first time it's
Holy
breaking.
Shit.
I actually, I've been going kind of back and forth in my head if I wanted to reveal it or not.
You can reveal it,
George. Do you
remember
the Super Bowl of 89?
89? I don't remember 89. I remember 84.
84, that was it. Not 89. That was the one where Tom Hanks twerked for the on stage. So the Super Bowl 84, mm-hmm. If you remember, it was the one where Andre the Giant went up and pulled down his pants and started masturbating.
That's right. I do remember that.
I'm actually making a film about Andre the Giant in that Super Bowl.
Masturbating?
Wow. Yes, and it's going to be about the whole backlash that happened, and like people for it, people against it, and everything that happened after he did that.
Can I think of a name?
Yes.
Tug of War.
No.
Okay.
Had a choice, who would you cast?
Actually, we already casted.
Oh, you casted?
Andre the Giant.
Oh, who is it?
Andre the Giant is going to be played by Adam Sandler.
Oh.
In a fat suit?
Adam Sandler is going to be bulking up for this part.
Oh, wow.
And he's going to put on, you know, like a deaf voice.
What are you going to do about the height?
You know, we'll just, the power of movie making, we'll just, you know, green screen it. It's all going to be shot in front of green screen, by the way. And we're going to make him look a lot bigger than what he is.
That's amazing.
Wow.
Sean, do you have any final words and a plug at all?
I don't have a plug.
Can I say the title of the movie?
Oh, yes,
it's not,
please.
It's not Tug of War. It's actually called Just Andre.
Just Andre. Just
Andre, the name Andre.
Andre.
Like in big, bold letters.
Yeah, Andre.
Wow.
Because
I think, you know, because my kids, you know, thought just said Andre one day, and I thought that was a really good idea for the title.
By the way, George, I do have one final question.
Yes.
Who do you have winning the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal this weekend?
There's an Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal
for WrestleMania.
Yes.
Who's competing?
Well,
like 30 people.
There's 20 participants. I'm sure they're all good in their own right, but
hey, I was playing dumb with you there, because actually there's a 21st.
Oh, you're going to be in it.
I'm going to be in WrestleMania.
Holy crap, weekend. Everybody. George Lucas is going to be the 21st contestant in the 2015 Andre the Giant Battle Royale at WrestleMania 31, right? 31? Uh-huh. San Francisco, California.
Yeah, so you're traveling to San Francisco this weekend.
Well, you live there, right?
Yes, I do live in San Francisco.
Oh, okay.
So it's right around the corner. My wrestling name, my debut is actually just Georgie Porgy.
Oh, okay, okay.
I'm going to come out.
What theme song are you coming out to?
It's actually not going to really be a theme song as much as it is just fart noises.
Okay.
So, in the tune of Star Wars?
Yeah. It's kind of playing a medley of the classic John Williams scores.
I would assume in honoring Andre, you're going to wear the singlet with the one strap.
Yes, of course. It's also going to have the poster for the movie on the back of the leotard.
Okay.
And it's just a shot. It's the stadium in the background. In the foreground, you see Andre's back turned to you and his hand kind of where the crotch area is.
Uh-huh.
So you know what's going on there. And then it's going to be Andre. And then the tagline is, he spanked it right into your hearts. So
is your official pick that you are going to win the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal?
Well, I think I have a good chance, Sean.
And, have you been training?
Well, I haven't been training as much as I've been eating, kind of bulking up weight.
I mean, that's pretty much what wrestlers do, right?
It's accumulating
body weight. Yeah, I mean, the bigger you are, the harder it's going to be to get you over the top rope.
Andre wasn't really a muscular guy. He was
just huge.
Yeah, just a big guy.
So you're method acting.
Yeah,
I'm
method acting. Okay. I mean, if Adam Sandler can't be in the film, I'm just gonna be in the film.
All right, I'd love to see that.
So
I can't wait to see you and Big Show square off.
I mean, well, Big Show, actually, the thing I like about Big Show is that he represents the hero with 1,000 faces, and that every one of us could be multiple people.
That. I'm just going to end it on that right there, because that's... Good night, everybody.